Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell all back together again. And let's hear from our good buddy who took a little day off yesterday. What's going on, Lance?
Hanging in there. How you doing, guys?
Good, man. You didn't get to talk about the Texans, that wonderful effort that they put out on Sunday. I know you couldn't wait to get back on the microphone to tell everybody how proud you are, how happy you are heading into the break at 1-6. This team seems to be heading in the right direction now.
Yeah, I'd say this is where you want to be, is right where they are right now.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, I tweeted something out during the game that, you know, when it's funny, when Deshaun Watson makes his off-schedule plays, those are the headline plays. You know, that's the thing that gets the television highlights. That's the thing that SportsCenter will lead with. That's what people talk about. But really, like, so he made one against Buffalo in the playoffs. Great play. It was unbelievable play. Ended up being a huge key play. But he had a bad, bad game in that game. I would rather just see him in rhythm, getting it out quickly. Because when he's that version of himself, which we saw for a little while on Sunday, when he's the version that is just on time, getting rid of it, getting into rhythm, that is from the pocket. That's a much better version. The other stuff will come. The break, contain, and make plays, that will come, but that's really not the important part of his game. The important part of his game moving forward, if he wants to be in the same, considered in the same class as the guys he's going to be paid like, is going to be getting in a rhythm from the pocket. Some of that's going to be on the offensive line to do better. A lot of it, I've just realized, you know, in watching this now 3 weeks in a row, teams know they can send six at the Texans, and at least one person is going to break down. At least one person is going to break down in terms of protection. I think that Deshaun Watson has to be very, very sure of where the protection is supposed to go and who he's responsible for if they rush more than they protect. And if not, he still has to be aware that six on six means, you know, their tight ends get beat too often. Their running backs, they'll have, obviously, Zach Fulton will get beat. Nick Martin will get beat. I just think that teams realize they can throw six at Deshaun and the Texans, and they're going to cause problems. And the Texans can't find a way to beat it.
Yeah. Well, and the running backs have done a poor job, too. It has been there's so many issues, and you know what, he has to pick that up too. It's not all on them. He has to pick that up too. If they're bringing six, he's got to get the ball out in a hurry, hit his hot read, and it's just a disaster. The whole team. We saw a block punt this week, but we really haven't seen anything spectacular at all, really, out of the special teams. I mean, not being back there for the punt for whatever reason. DeAndre Carter thought he should come up and be on the line of scrimmage instead of being back for the punt. I don't know what the hell they were thinking on that one, and it ended up on the backed up on their own 2 yard line. And then defensively, it's maybe the worst defense we've seen in Houston. I mean,
it's terrible. It's the worst.
I mean, it literally could be the worst defense that we've seen here. Well, they were much better as an expansion franchise. They were a much better defense. I mean,
they had real guys. They had
Aaron
real
Glenn
guys.
And Gary Walker and Coleman, and I mean, they had. Yeah, I mean, they
Seth,
had
Seth. They Sharper. Yeah. Like, they had guys who other teams wanted to offload because of age or contract, you know, salary
money.
Spot. Yeah, that was a much better. I mean, we've seen way worse defenses, but this is the worst. This is the worst defense that we've seen. This is it for what an unfortunate opportunity for Anthony Weaver, because he's going to have a hard time getting away from this.
Well, it's on him too, though.
But it is. He's the coordinator. Yeah.
Well, he's the coordinator. And when, I mean, when a guy in the booth is telling you, I wouldn't do this right here, when he's got two guys up on the line of scrimmage and Eric Murray is sitting one-on-one with Davante Adams, when Davante Adams has 9 catches already and it's only Eric Murray with no help over the top. I mean, and the guy up, Jonathan Vilma in the booth is going, I wouldn't do this. And sure enough, it ends up in a touchdown because he runs right past Eric. I mean, we've seen Eric Murray on Juju. We've seen Eric Murray on Davante Adams. We've seen Eric Murray covering people one-on-one in press coverage. Well, how are you pressing when he's in the slot, too, by the way? I mean, that's all he has to do. One move, and he's past you. And you can't run with people. That squarely is on Anthony Weaver. I understand that you lost Bradley Roby, but that doesn't mean that, well, then we just have to throw Eric Murray one-on-one, cover zero on Davante Adams. No, you don't. I mean, you put your next best guy, but you got to have Justin Reed over the top. Justin Reed is on the right side the left side of the offense when Davante Adams is over on the right side, and this guy's been killing you and all game, and he's standing over there. That's on Anthony Weaver. How you design a defense like that? That's on Anthony Weaver.
Yeah, I mean, no, 100%. He doesn't get a free pass just because he doesn't have great players over there. You still have to make do. Listen, there are coaches all over the NFL for decades who have had to try to make do with what they're given, and that's that. And then they have to make do with what they're given plus injury. So, yeah, it's everyone's job. But, yeah, he hasn't done his job. The secondary doesn't do their job. I mean, I don't remember the last time Vernon Hargraves actually made a play. I just don't. Eric Murray has been an unmitigated disaster on the heels 2 or 3 years ago of Aaron Colvin as a free agent. So it's just been, you know, they've missed. Eric Murray is a huge miss. They need to get away from that one. Not only is he a miss, his negative plays are really hurting this team. And you just see what an unbelievable disaster. This is what happens. And this is what I've been pining against, and it's made me mad that it takes so long for people to see how terrible this is. But as soon as it started with the Jadeveon Clowney trade, and then it went to the, you know, right, just backed right up with the Clowney trade, didn't get really what you should have gotten on the Clowney trade. Then you gave up. At the time, I said this is too much for Laremy Tunsil. It's too much. It's a Khalil Mack deal. You don't have to give that up. And if you do give that up, you better damn sure have his contract done, which they didn't get done. Then they give up, you know, then you see a second-round pick that you got for – you trade DeAndre Hopkins, you get a second-rounder, and you move that for Brandon Cooks, a slot receiver who is not having much of an impact on anything up to this point. You give a bunch of – you take on David Johnson when you could have just – you could have hung on to Carlos Hyde that money.
Finally, the Chronicle this morning. Why didn't they keep Carlos Hyde is the headline.
Well, what took so long? Well, guys, Carlos Hyde was a good running back last year.
No, he was really good.
He hits the hole so much faster than David Johnson. But, John, look how much damage one idiot in player personnel. First of all, he's not a nice guy to me. I just, from the personality standpoint, I don't like the way he treats people, Bill O'Brien, period. As a coach, okay. No, he's all right as a coach. Personnel guy, he literally was incompetent. He didn't know how much trade value was supposed to be. He had no idea. That's not his job. His job is coaching. Coaching is not the same as personnel. They're not the same. Then you get a guy who's a team chaplain, and you say, you know what? This is probably the guy that I think is going to be best for me as my right-hand man and my foray into personnel. What did those two guys do? Look at the damage they have done in just one and a half, really two off seasons. Look at the damage that they have done. You have no first or second round picks. You have an atrocious secondary, which includes Eric Murray, who was given good money in free agency, really, relative to what he had done for the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs couldn't believe I got a text from somebody with the Chiefs, like, did the Texans even watch the tape? I said, I don't know. They just, I said, at this point, it's just they do what they do. I don't even question it anymore.
No.
Look how much damage has been done. Look how much damage on the roster has been done in that short a time by two guys that don't know what they're doing in personnel. Look how much damage.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, well, Jimbo's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN. What was it you asked yesterday, Dell, about Body? What was his name? Body. He was here such a
Body
short
Calhoun,
time.
Is that his name?
Body Blue.
Body what Calhoun.
Was, yeah.
Body Calhoun. Yeah.
I don't even know where he is now.
No, I don't think he's anywhere.
He just disappeared. When
the Texans bring him in. Oh, let's bring this guy in. I asked somebody. Well, I asked a buddy in Cleveland. Hey, how is he? He can't run. Why do you think he's not here? He can't run.
Why was he even? Yeah.
He can't run. Oh, good thing we grabbed him. I mean, they brought in. It was like we're look at how they start with safeties. We're gonna build this defense with safeties. What? What? I mean, talk about bass ackwards. This whole organization, is bass ackwards. All right, Jimbo joins us on the other side. He's got Arkansas coming into Kyle Field on Saturday, so we'll talk to him about that. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastang Ford, my peeps over at Chastang Ford, Patrick and Joe, and the wonderfulness that is Chastang Ford. And you say, well, I get my Ford from a bigger dealership because I'm going to get a better price there. Nope. That's simply not the case. You've got unbelievable 20,000 off expeditions. You got the STX right now for $29,999 or $499 a month with nothing down. That is ridiculously low, people. That is so. It is such a nice truck, and you could be driving around in it right now at $499 a month, and you can do it all online, and they won't try to upsell you. So here's the deal. Oh, yeah, anything that starts at $29,999, by the time it's all said and done, you could be spending $35,000. That's not the case at Chastang Ford because they're not going to just try to gouge you with everything that they want to add on with the bed liners and and air in the tires and all these other things that these other places charge, tinted windows, all kinds of stuff. And Chastang Ford just doesn't do that. You can buy it all online. They'll deliver it to your home. You don't have to go into the dealership. But if you want to, listen, they are definitely practicing social distancing, and you will feel safe at the dealership. Find out for yourself. Any vehicle that you want, it's there right now for you, for the taking, at the best price in the city. Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. ChastangFord.com. Or on 610 at Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, well, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, your home for the Aggies. That brought to you by Damaris Barbecue every week right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Coach Jimbo Fisher joining us for a segment as he gets ready for Arkansas after the bye week. Coach, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. What'd you do last weekend? Go to the beach or what?
No, not hardly. Went. Got to see my little one, my youngest one, play and spend some time with family.
Where is he playing?
In Tallahassee.
Oh, in Tallahassee. Nice, Coach. That's great. Good for you. Is he in high school?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Good for man. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Watching them play.
It is.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, here we go, Coach. Arkansas week, and now normally that would be you know what? Arkansas is a it's been the worst team in the SEC for years now. But this is a different deal with Sam. What's Sam Pittman done differently?
I mean, the kids are playing very hard. They're very sound in what they do. They're playing physical. They're very optimistic, creating turnovers on defense, converting them on offense. Have a good identity to try to run the ball, mix it up on offense and defense, multiple packages, and then sound on special teams. I mean, they're playing very good, very hard.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here. And let's talk a little bit about, and go back to Mississippi State, Coach. When you looked at the film and broke it all down, what were you most pleased with?
Well, I think we did a good job at the line of scrimmage for the most part. We were able to run the football. Had some others we could have really cleaned up on a couple runs. We did a couple little things. But I think how hard we played. We did great job in transition. We got turnovers. We created them into points and touchdowns. Ran the ball out, ran the football, ran the last 5 minutes of the game. We were able to run it in the red zone, tight zone, those situations. Defensively played outstanding. I mean, I thought we tackled well, kept great leverage on the football. We were able to pressure the quarterback, get 6 sacks, create a turnover that led to points. Just played a very sound football game against the head. That team had negative yards rushing. That we played, special teams, we were able to block a punt, which created points there, and that we were able to convert, did a good solid job, and most part in that, and just got better as a football team, and still at the same time, there's a lot of room for improvement, and a lot of things we can clean up. Like I said, we left some points on the field, which, we have to learn to get better at, but at the same time, very encouraging as far as the physicalities of our lines and how we're trying to play.
Coach, I'm curious how the preparation from a player standpoint. I kind of have an idea about what goes on with coaches during a bye week. How do you change things for your players? What advantages do your players have with a bye week? What does a bye week look like for your players in terms of the cycle of healing, but also preparing?
Well, I think we do a lot of things on the bye week because we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. A good hard practices all 3 days, good long practices. I think we self-evaluate for their preparation, things they're doing well on the year, things we're not doing as well, so we could hit fundamental things during those 3 days that improve those situations, keep enhancing the things we did. Film work for future opponents, not only just Arkansas, but maybe future opponents. There may be a couple things that this team may do that's a little different we want to introduce you to here that allows it when we do install it. You're familiar with this going forward. And, you worked on future opponents, you work on yourself, and you self-evaluate yourself on the things we've done well and the things we haven't done well.
How much numbers do you use? For example, how often you're calling runs on first down, how often you're calling?
Your run pass, your self-scout is huge. Formational breakdown, your down and distance breakdown, your field position breakdown, the things, what you're doing, and that's huge. That's a weekly occurrence that we have a running total each and every week that we know what our people are preparing for. Self-scout, to me, is as important as scouting your opponent.
Do you have somebody that just does that, Coach, or are you just looking at...
We have, without a doubt. We have a guy who breaks down every efficiency of every run, efficiency of every pass, protections where we're good at, we're not good at, percentage of run pass, percentages of success rates on those situations, what we're calling third and three, what we're calling third and eight, what we're calling first and ten, what we're calling second and long. All those things, that's a constant running total. We have a guy that just keeps a running total of those things.
Yeah. And a lot of coaches don't want to hear it. This is what we do and whatnot, but that's great because if you're not, you're going to show tendencies, right?
Well, exactly. Well, and here's the other thing. But I believe in tendencies. And I do, and I think y'all have to have tendencies. Because tendencies, I've learned this from great coaches before. I remember Coach Bowden said it because all the great coaches I've been around, tendencies mean you believe in something. And you got to believe in things and things that you do well that you got to admit that we do them year-round and we believe in them. They got 3 days to work on them. That doesn't, you ought to be able to do them better. But it also goes back to physical personnel mismatches and what you have to do. And then the tendencies allow you to break tendencies, which allow you to have big plays. So, you have tendencies you can't get over. You can't just wear something out, but at the same time, have have counters to it that allow you to be successful off of it. And then, you know, that's your base in which you have to come from. Because your kids, back when those big moments come, there's still things they got to believe in and know that they can execute, and that you have to be able to be able to do.
Coach, you know what I always find interesting is that I've had a conversation with my dad before, and I want to say it was the Cincinnati team that you were with him, or you may have been. I don't know if you were there or not, but he talked about how really that team had about six running plays and just ran it out of multiple formations, multiple groupings, things like mm-hmm. that. But it was really simple, and he said when you simplify the run game, that's when you're best. And then I saw Gary Kubiak and Alex Gibbs here with the outside zone base game. And you get to really have a great feel for simplicity. And then I had a conversation with him this weekend about Todd Bowles, who's a defense coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And they were on the staff together in Arizona. And he said, you know, Todd is one of the best he's ever seen. And the reason is because he said he would go into meetings and say he didn't need PowerPoints. Or he said, this is the three things we have to do to win. And it was stop this guy, do this, and do this. And he's always preached, I'm kind of curious your thought, that the simplicity of football, when you're able to simplify it a little bit more, it's a lot easier to be successful. He thinks the overly complicated stuff is way overrated.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, you complicate maybe a formation, and by creating formation, sometimes you create angles and different things for yourself. And your kids still have to know where to go, allow them to play fast, allow them to play physical. If they're doubting themselves at the line of scrimmage with all the checks and all the, I mean, your mind is not clear. How can you be a technician? If you're always having to worry about assignment, it's hard to be technical. And at the same time, you can't be too simplistic, but you hide it with formations, you hide it with different things you do. But as I say, at the end of the day, you have to be able to play fast, come off the ball, and put a hat where it's got to go in your hands, where they got to go, and you got to block the guy. And that's what it gets down to. I totally agree.
As a veteran quarterback coach with Kellen, how much leeway does he have when, you know, there's a play and it's not going to work? And how much leeway does he have at the line of scrimmage?
Oh, he has a lot of leeway. I mean, he does a tremendous amount of checking and calling for us and getting us in out of the right protection, sliding the centers the right way. If numbers game or angles the wrong way, we have a counter play to the other side. You double call the same player, you double call two plays, but they stay within the framework of what you're trying to do, and they understand the angles and what you're trying to create.
Yeah. Hey, he threw for 139. You know, you had to have him the week before, and he came through and in a big way. And then you're okay with him, and you win the game with him only throwing for 139 yards. So you can, one thing that you guys are doing well all season long is running the football, Coach. I mean,
well, yeah, you got to be able to run it. You got to hit that drive. But then we had the big drive. We had to go straight down the field. He took us right back after the freak interception, which we did. And I remember we had about a 50-some yarder called back. We had a critical drop in one and on another one that were all big plays. So, and again, we had two short fields because of turnovers, too, in what we did. So third down, we had 40%, which is actually low for us for the year. We've been really good on third downs for the year. We've been very efficient on our third downs. And that's another key component for what we have to keep doing. But, I mean, if you got to run, you got to bounce, you do what you got to do on each game to win the football game. You got to, you know, control the line of scrimmage, control the momentum of the game. And I think that's very important.
Yep. Well, it's funny, as well as Arkansas is playing, they're not running. They're only averaging 2.6 yards per carry, Coach. You've been able to shut them down, and yet they're still winning football games. That's amazing to me that this team is 2-2 right now and not being able to run football.
If you look at their games, though, its ability to create turnovers.
Yep.
That creates seven turnovers versus Ole Miss. They create some turnovers, and they had a pick six versus a pick six versus Mississippi State. They were able to score very optimistic in the two games in which they've won on that side of the ball and done a really good job.
They've already got 10 interceptions this year.
Yeah, 13 turnovers, yeah.
And three fumble recoveries. So that's in four games? Yeah, so Kellen's got to be mindful of that, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to, and the whole team does. I mean, and routes, receivers, whatever we got to do.
You like this playing at Kyle Field, or you wish you were playing in Dallas?
I mean, Dallas brings a different perspective to it, but anytime you can play in Kyle Field, it's great. I mean, you'll be able to play in your home field. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so how's everybody's health, Coach, heading into this one?
We're pretty healthy. I mean, you got your number of bangs and bruises, but the week off is really good, and getting healthy and getting guys back on the field. So, for the most part, extremely healthy.
So when you give them the weekend off, as a coach, are you like a parent worried, hey, guys, no parties, don't forget the COVID, don't forget we can't be spreading it. I mean, When you give them some time off, that's when you got to be a little bit worried as a head coach, no?
Oh, you do. I mean, you do all the time. That's something we remind them of each and every day. And because of the COVID world, not just there, but, I mean, anywhere you go, you got to be really careful. But we try to be aware of it, and our testing and our things come back have been very good. So.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, man, we appreciate it, Coach. This is great stuff. And best of luck on Saturday against Arkansas. It's going to be a good one. That's a good football team. So we'll have a lot of fun watching that. We appreciate you being here again.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Of course, Damaris Barbecue's got the two locations if you're looking for a great way to have fun. Go watch those Aggies on 18th Street. You know, Frankie and Yanni, and they're Aggies. They're good Aggs, and they want you in there. 18th Street and 610, and you could go and watch the games. They've got all the college football games on. They've got all the pro games. He's got the NFL package. So if you're looking for a great place to watch games, get your barbecue on, get your drink on. They've got a bar at the 18th Street location. Of course, they got beer when you walk in over at Shepherd as well. It's on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. They got TVs there too. On Saturday afternoons, you can go and watch, or even Sundays too, you can go and watch your games, get your game on over at Damaris Barbecue. My best thing is, though, is you get that food. You get that great food, and you get that great fun. And, of course, the catering is excellent, excellent, excellent. Go to Damaris.com, DEMERIS.com. All right, taking a break. And you know what I get when I get over there? I get Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. That's what I get. I get me some Coors Lights. Listen, they do. They've got Coors Lights. And trust me, we've run through all of the Coors Light on the 18th Street location. We've run through them. And so, okay, get another case, Yanni. Let's go. We need another case up here. Let's go. And it's just good, clean fun for the whole family. And, well, not really the whole family. You know, it's for more adults, I think. But here's the deal, is if you're looking for that beer that you could call the official beer of watching your team, I don't care who your team is, you call that the official beer of watching your team. You call that the official beer of golf. You call that the official beer of poker. You call that the official beer of Friday night, of Saturday night, of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the nights, all the days. It's what the official beer is. It's Texas Chill, baby. You're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Pick up 12 ounces of chill, 16 ounces of chill, 144 ounces. That's a 12-pack of chill. Texas Chill, Coors Light.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:30 on ESPN 97.5. This is the eight-year anniversary, Lance, of James Harden being traded to the Rockets. Where were you when you found out?
I was in Portland, down in a bar... the basement of a bar in Portland, watching. Chris Solis was there with me. We were watching the New York Yankees. I can't remember who they were playing in a World Series that year. We were watching a World Series game, as a matter of fact, and college football. It was a Saturday, and it was college football. It was New York Yankees in a World Series, and then the James stuff came across on the scroll, and we were pretty pumped up.
You were pumped up?
Yeah, I was excited. James Harden for Lamb and... all yeah, those scrubs. Yeah, I was very happy about it.
I didn't. None of us knew James Harden would turn into this, but yeah, I was pleased. Yeah, I didn't. I had no idea it would turn into this, though.
I thought he was going to be pretty good, though. I mean, he had showed it there with he was the third guy of, you know, he was a high draft pick.
Not
he was
year in, year out MVP candidate, though.
Well, I didn't say that. Nobody.
No.
Daryl Morey said he didn't know that. But what I did think was that he was immediately the best player on a team and that he was a legit talent. Like, do you remember his first game was against, I think, Detroit? And he had a big first game, too, but when he joined the team. But I was very excited about them getting James Harden. You finally had a potential star caliber player to cheer for over there with the Rockets, because that team was really in a funk at that time in terms of just star power. They really didn't have it.
Yeah. What if they kept Harden, KD, and Russ together there? Think they win?
Oh, yeah, I think they win. I mean, Harden learned how to play. He was playing behind them. I don't know why he was even available. I've read about it before where they didn't think they could keep all of them. They didn't think they'd be able to sign all of them. I don't know if there was also a question about where the balls go, because I don't think they could get behind giving James all that money when he wasn't going to get as many touches as the money would. They knew what he was worth from a future dollar standpoint, but you can't get him the touches when you have that many players. Like, not those two other guys were stars. I mean, Russ and KD were who it was built around. You couldn't pay all three of them max dollars. I mean, it just wasn't gonna work in the future. So I am surprised they dealt him in the Western Conference, to be honest with you, which maybe does tell you what they thought about James. And then what they dealt him for, I mean, once again, it's going to go down as one of the worst trades in NBA history for Oklahoma City, because they could have potentially hung on to him if they wanted and paid him. But what they got back versus what James is just a horrible right. mismatch.
Well, I think they thought Jeremy Lamb might be more than he was. And draft considerations. And Kevin Martin played okay for them for a year or so. No, it was horrible. It was horrible. I'm looking through all of the – it's October 27, 2012. I'm looking through all of the comments, and most of it is no from OKC fans. It's mostly all OKC fans saying no, because I think they thought they had the foundation with the three of them going to the finals. They had the foundation for a championship team.
Well, if you look, the article surrounding the trade had a lot to do with the finances of the decision. And now they signed Ibaka. This was coming off giving Russ Westbrook a max deal. Then they signed Ibaka to a four-year, $48 million deal. They tried to get James to sign a four-year, $52 million deal. He rejected it. So, and then they were the contract could have been up to 4 years for $54 million. They gave him their choice. You can sign this deal now, so we can lock you in, or we'll trade you to Houston. Harden was looking for the max. The Thunder were like, you're not going to pay you the max. You are a six man. The max would have been 5 years, $60 million. So they didn't want to go up to that number. They traded him, and then he got 5 years, $80 million from the Rockets. So it was a financial thing, and they figured, how many guys are we going to pay? Are we going to pay a fourth guy almost max money? And they decided no, and that's how part of the reason he's here.
Yep. Well, we finally heard from some Rockets. Well, one anyway. Eric Gordon says that the chemistry could be better. For us, we made a lot of change last year. We went small ball halfway through the season, but in the playoffs, it's all about matchups. We just got to be able to rally around the same group of guys and build on more chemistry and try to get better. Try to utilize everybody to play at their best. I think that's going to make us better in the long haul. I don't think they're going to rebuild this team. This team is good. I don't care what a lot of people say. It doesn't matter. Injuries and whatnot. We've seen it all here. We still win 50-plus games, and we're still going to be right there in the playoffs. I think he's right in a couple of things. I don't think they're going to – Tillman's already said we're not going to just sell off the team. So we're not rebuilding here. He's not blowing it up. Whether or not he knows better about the chemistry. I thought with Russ that the chemistry was better. No, certainly better than Chris Paul with all the crap going on in the locker room, and Dwight Howard with all the crap going on in the locker room. By all accounts, James and Russ are still boys, and hopefully, you know, it could last for more than a year, because usually you don't last for more than a year in James's good graces. There's usually a fallout after 1 year, so hopefully that won't be the case this year with Russ. As long as Russ keeps, you know, doesn't tell James what to do, I think we'll be fine. But his assertion that they're going to be right there in the playoffs, even if they all get along, and they like each other and things, you know, go pretty. They're still not talented enough. They're just not.
You know, I'd much rather not know what's going to happen. Feel like I don't know. I feel like I 100% knew about the Texans that it wasn't going to be that good. My feeling was an 8-8 team potentially, but it was 7-9. My range was 6-10 to 9-7 for the Texans this year, which is trending downwards. There's not a lot of drama to this. They're even worse than I expected, but I didn't expect them to be very good even after this point. So that's irrelevant. I knew they weren't going to compete. Astros, I weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, I really didn't know going into the season. With the Rockets this year, I feel the exact same way as the Texans. I kind of know who they are and what they're going to do. I'm not saying they're going to be as bad as the Texans are. That's not what I'm saying. I just kind of already know how the story is going to end. And frankly, I know how the story is going to end with this roster. So I don't really care who you add, what little addition you make, what subtraction it doesn't matter. I've seen it so many times. Do you really think there's anything that's going to surprise you about next year's Rocket team?
No, but they're not going to be bad. They will. Well, if it's a 72-game season, let's say, what do you think? 43. I'm going to put the under over 43-29.
I'll go under.
You like under? Oh, yeah. See, they've been a good regular season team. There's no reason to think that they won't be 13 games over 500.
You got 14 Russ.
Games, 14 games over 500.
Russ is another year older. He's a guy who has had injury issues over the last few years. You've got Eric Gordon, who's had injury issues, and James has been a horse. At some point, James is going to start to break down a little bit. So, and now a new coach is going to have to deal with a roster that is probably not going to be, you know, the friendliest roster to deal with. Who's the coach going to be? How will this team do with free agency with Rafael Stone or whatever at the helm? I just think there's too many. I feel like it's trending down right now.
You mean he's not going to be able to pick up a James Ennis or a Carmelo Anthony
or a Robert Covington?
Well, yeah.
I mean, let's face it.
Already here.
You can't keep going to they had him for 6 days. I mean, 6 games. We can't keep going to Carmelo.
Well,
Anthony.
No, but that's the off-season acquisitions
but
that they made.
But the moves, the in-season, you're ignoring. What about Austin Rivers?
Ben McLemore.
Ben McLemore
was a guy that came off the more or less the quote-unquote scrap heap.
Right. And Daryl picked him up. I mean, Daryl was pretty good at those guys. I don't know how Rafael Stone, I don't even know. Joel seems to think he doesn't even do basketball stuff.
No, right.
I mean, that doesn't give me a lot of hope. You know, the last time I had a guy who was in charge of a roster who didn't really have any experience doing roster stuff, that would be Bill O'Brien. How'd that work out for us?
Yeah.
More qualified, Rafael Stone or Jack Easterby?
I don't have any idea.
I don't know about Rafael Stone.
Yeah, that's unfair because we don't know how. See, Rafael Stone has been with the organization for years and years, and we don't know how much he has learned or what kind of tutelage he's had under Daryl Morey.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm taking Rafael Stone over Easterby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't even know Rafael Stone.
Right.
And I'm
taking him. Lance, you could take – I mean – Gary Clark, Brandon Knight, Michael Carter Williams.
Those are back end of the roster. Those aren't guys that you
Those are guys you have to throw up against the wall, and hope something sticks.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
And
you, when you
and
have max
you
dollar guys,
have any, you don't have any cap room to spend any money on guys that are going to fill in that you're going to be able to fill
right.
in. Now,
that,
and
that's
listen,
why you're in trouble.
Well,
this is why you're in trouble moving forward.
Wasn't that the Lakers' problem, though? And look what the Lakers did.
Every team with max – what do you mean, look what the Lakers did?
Well, the Lakers ended up winning the title when everybody said, well, what about the supporting cast around those two?
Well, but they got Anthony Davis in his prime.
Yeah, well, you got James Harden in his prime.
You don't have Russ Westbrook in his prime.
No, but okay. Well, who's that on? I mean, well, you're picking up. I mean, again, that's on.
Well,
that's,
don't compare him to. But don't compare him to the Lakers. The Lakers also had a young star player in Kuzma. I mean, Kuzma wasn't even ended up being
terrible.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're what they've got was actually better than what the Rockets have.
Well, they had a lot of decent young players that they were actually able to move for a guy in his prime.
Well, yeah, but it also helps that that guy had the same agent as LeBron. I mean, that was a done deal a long time. It was a done deal when he was in, you know.
Yeah, it also helps that they have their draft. They actually use draft picks on players.
Well, Caruso,
drafted guys.
But you know what? People like to clown Caruso. Caruso ended up being a pretty decent player.
No, he's a really good player.
And Rajon Rondo was that was like a huge shot. Markieff Morris ended up having a game that knocked the Rockets out when they had a lead, and then he started just going dead eye from three in game two. You know, that was a huge game for Markieff Morris, who is another guy off the bench. So, yeah, I just don't like comparing the two because James isn't as good as LeBron when it comes to winning big games. And then Anthony Davis is a blowout over Russell Westbrook. And this Rocket team is not – look, okay, so you brought the Lakers up. That's a championship team. Either you're building towards the championship or you're not. Right now the Rockets building towards a championship. I would say the gas is out of that car. It's over. You're not building towards a championship anymore. Now you're just going to have to figure out when and how you disassemble your vehicle and retool to get your next run. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's so are you, sad.
Yeah, but it's the reality. Are you building – I was told this several years ago, and it's the best way to look at things. Are you building towards a championship? Right now, do you feel like you have momentum to build towards a championship?
No.
I would say not even close. I would say the Texans are stalled in neutral right now. I would say the Astros right now are in neutral, and they could still – like, there still is some gas left in that car. I'm just not sure. I can't say the Astros aren't building towards a championship. I can't say that because they've been lucky enough to have some good young pitchers all of a sudden revitalize their potential efforts. There is no revitalizing the Rockets. There's nothing there.
And the Texans are building towards a championship. You look at the pieces they've got in place now.
Oh man, when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question that you're probably not going to want to answer.
All right. When we come back, we'll do that, but right now we're talking about HR. And listen, you got to have an HR department. If you've got an issue with an employee, you don't want to handle this yourself. You don't know the rules. You don't know all of the stuff. And HR has really hurt businesses before because if you make the wrong move, I mean, really hurt where it's going to cost you financially. And in some instances, it's cost people their business because they made wrong HR moves. Well, and then there's the payroll. And what are you doing? Are you doing your own payroll? Are you paying full-time employees to handle your payroll? Well, it's so much more economical to do it with a company that just does this. They just it's so simple for them. And here, this is the best time to call them right now. This is the window that you call them. And one of their great salespeople is going to come over and they're going to customize a plan for your business. If you have 15 employees, you're not going to get the same deal that somebody has 2,000 employees. I mean, that's just common sense. So it doesn't matter how big. And listen, if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, if they didn't handle things during this outbreak, if they don't handle your taxes, if they don't handle your Affordable Care Act, if they don't handle your unemployment claims, if they're not knowledgeable in everything that they're doing with all this stuff, then you need ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance teased a question that might not be all that desirable to answer, but before we get to some bad news, let me give you something good to hang on to. We don't usually do giveaways in the 7 o'clock hour, so we're going to reward the people who listen to us early. Championship Boxing is back in San Antonio in a big way. Superstars collide on Halloween night as Gervonta Tank Davis brings his swagger and power to town to face Mexican legend Leo El Terremoto Santa Cruz with two titles on the line. So caller 8 at 7:55. Caller 8 at 7:55. The 713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets to see the action live in San Antonio. Plus San Antonio's own undefeated champion Mario Barrios faces Houston's Ryan Carl in another world championship bout. I said caller 8, people. You heard me. At 7:55. Don't call now. It all goes down Saturday, October 31st, live at the Alamo Dome. Get tickets now at the box office or Ticketmaster.com. Make sure you can make it up there yourself. We're only providing you with the tickets. You got to get your hotel rooms, find a way to get there. We're only giving you the tickets. But caller 8 at 7:55 has a chance to win. Actually, we'll win those tickets. Now back to John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97. Lance has got a but we got Sam here quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get Sam in here, and then Lance has got a question for us. He's been waiting. He wants to get on the show. Hey, Sam, how are you?
No, how about yourself?
Good.
Hey, I love the show, man. I listen to y'all every day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, I got a question for Lance. I'm hearing your answer about Bill O'Brien being a good coach. I mean, let's look at the decisions he's made over the past, let's say, 5 years. This is the guy who doesn't know when to call timeout, when to challenge. I mean, the bonehead decision after bonehead decision that he makes, I'm trying to figure your narrative of him being a good coach because he designs a couple of drag plays on an RPO. I mean, the guy makes bonehead decision after bonehead decision. It makes no sense. I watched his train wreck of a team for the past almost 20 years now. And the one good decision he made when he came here, he decided that Andre Johnson was over the hill. Okay, we scoffed at that at first. And then we realized, okay, he made a good decision because when Andre Johnson went to the Colts, he kind of fell off the map. Okay, then the decision started to get worse and worse. You're getting rid of Duane Brown. I mean, in the numerous coaching decisions, I mean, the guy doesn't know when to call timeout. The decision in game, no adjustments being made. We can go back to the Kansas City game. The one thing you could not do against the Chiefs was let them score quickly. And you made bonehead decisions to let them score quickly to get back in the game when you're 24-0. You don't have a play design ready for a fourth and a foot when you already said, okay, you feel like we have to score 50 to win. I mean, what I'm trying to figure out, Lance, why do you feel like Bill O'Brien is a good coach?
Well, you said good. I said – that's not what I said. What I said was he's fine as a coach. He's, you know, he's okay. That's fine. Whatever. I kind of – I don't think I say a good coach. There have been times where I thought he's been a lot better as a coach. But I don't think he is – I think he's fine as a coach. I think he's okay as a coach. I've said that multiple times. I think he's okay as a coach. I think he has made better adjustments than Gary Kubiak used to make. The timeout and the challenging and all that stuff, you know, pretty much most fans say that about their head coaches, to be honest. What he did in the Kansas City game that you're referencing, that's impossible to defend. He was terrible. That decision making I thought was absolutely awful. I'm just trying to point out the difference between the coach, who I think is okay, versus the personnel guy, who I think is an unmitigated disaster, and thought that from the beginning. So I wouldn't overstate how good I think Bill O'Brien is as a coach. If he was really that good, he would get another head coaching job, and I don't think he's going to. I think he's got a lot of cleanup work to do. Let's just put it that way. As far as the other stuff, now I will say Bill O'Brien was actually – I think he wanted to keep Duane Brown. That was not Bill O'Brien's call. And Duane Brown has actually been very positive about Bill O'Brien. That was, John, you know this, that started off a financial deal. It was really more between Rick and Duane Brown. That was, Duane Brown wanted additional guaranteed money. The Texans said no, they didn't want to give him additional money.
How'd that work out?
And so Duane, I think, had some ammunition and decided to fire his guns so that he could cause enough havoc that he could get out of there and get pushed out of there. And that's what happened. That was Rick Smith, and that was ownership. That was not Bill O'Brien.
How'd that work out?
Oh, terrible. You know, my dad and I, you know, watching the games, he said, boy, I'm just sitting here, Lancey, watching Duane Brown block his tail off and thinking, why in the world is – did the Texans get rid of him? And I talked a little bit about it, and there was his wife wanted to get back to the West Coast, so I don't know that Dwayne would have been here long term. Oh, but there is a
if
chance.
If they had paid him, he'd have been here.
Well, I think maybe 3 more years. Yeah, two to 3 more years. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe well, so, 3 more years.
So paying him whatever more that he wanted or paying $22 million a year plus 2 first-round draft picks.
Well, you probably would have drafted a tackle with one
of
your
first-round
picks.
But how dumb is that? How dumb is the whole thinking of that?
Well, the Dwayne Brown thing absolutely killed you. And I had a friend of mine who laid it out. He goes, if you just pay Dwayne Brown, and he starts going through the butterfly effect of that, and it is really astonishing how many things off the Dwayne Brown trade, off the Dwayne Brown deal, how many different changes happened because of that. Like you literally could have had an extremely different looking team, including not having Laremy Tunsil. You would have probably used one of your first round picks in the future on an offensive tackle. And it just, the Texans really, 2 moves. The move of moving a second-round pick to get rid of Brock Osweiler's contract when you could have just eaten that money. You could have cut him and eaten that money. And then not signing Dwayne Brown. You can start to see all the dominoes slide against you in the wrong direction with those 2 moves. And now you are where you are, which brings me to my question that I have to ask you guys. It was asked of me on Twitter. And you guys may have been tagged. I don't know. But right now, if the Washington football team reached out to you and said, okay, Texans, we will give you our first this year and a first next year for Deshaun Watson, what would you do? Now, in the past, I'd say, and even maybe right now, I'd say, no, you can't do that. I mean, it's so hard to find a quarterback, the right quarterback. But I'm asking you right now, if you had to deal if you were able to get 2 first-rounders, how long does it take for you to say no, or how long do you consider it?
Well, my problem with it is that they won this week.
I know. That's why I picked them on purpose, because it's not the Jets.
What?
I'm not going to give you the Jets, because you'd say yes. I'd say yes.
I'd say yes right now, yeah. Absolutely.
Nope, we're going Washington.
Washington, I don't know. Probably not, because you. Well, I mean, it's not like you're winning with this guy anyway. I mean, well, you've won. I don't want to say. See, we're looking at this season in a vacuum, and you can't. Deshaun has won. Deshaun has won division titles. You're a better football team with Deshaun Watson. You've been to the playoffs with him. It hasn't been great in the playoffs, but you've been to the playoffs with him, and I'm saying he's a premier quarterback. None of this is on Deshaun this year. I mean, I don't want to say none of it, but he's playing a small role in them being as bad as they are. He played the best of any player ever in a loss. Any quarterback ever in a loss.
So you for sure wouldn't move him for like the Washington. Okay, let's say it's the 5th pick this year, and then you get a future one also.
Well, Fields and Lawrence are already gone.
I know. That's why I'm asking. Would you do that?
By
the way, Fields looked really
good
in game one.
What you're looking for is a quarterback, and you know what, in a draft, and you're giving up. In other words, okay, so you don't have a first-round pick. But if you have to use that first-round pick on a quarterback, which you already have, you haven't gained anything. And a quarterback that's – do you know he's going to be as good as Deshaun Watson?
No, you don't. That's why I think this question's not an easy one to answer.
No, I think it's easy. No, the answer is no. Well, you're using that pick that you don't have on a quarterback, which is something you already have.
Okay, but you also have the opportunity to hit reset. This is really, if you say yes, then that means you don't really believe in Deshaun and you're worried about how much you're going to be paying him if he'll be able to play to that number. It's about hitting the reset on that number.
AJ says he's got a no trade clause, so never mind.
Who does? Deshaun?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he would waive it for the right team. Look,
is the Washington the right team?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Deshaun Watson is as I don't think he's all in on the Houston Texans if they're going to be a bad team. I mean, you already see how his body language hasn't been great with them being this bad anyway. Even with Bill O'Brien gone, he said he's never lost like this in his life. I don't think just because he has a no-trade yeah, you'd have to find the right team to move him to. Okay, what if a team like the New England Patriots said, okay, we want Deshaun, we'll give you two firsts and a second.
What about the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, you know, you have Dak. So what are the –
Dak's contract is up.
You just let Dak walk, I guess?
You just let Dak walk.
Get a third.
You got Deshaun locked up long term. You let Dak walk.
I bet Deshaun would waive his no trade for the Cowboys. I don't think the Texans would ever consider dealing Deshaun Watson to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. No, but
there's no way.
Would Deshaun waive it for that? Would he waive it for New England?
Yes. Huh. I think he would. If he believes that they have a chance to win. See, I've always felt like the Patriots are going to head down because this is not, you know, you don't have Tom Brady. Bill Belichick is not this great personnel guy like everyone makes him out to be. If you go study his drafts, you see that. It was a matter of time for them to start getting whacked a little bit, and Cam Newton's been worse than expected. I mean, did they look bad on Sunday. They looked atrocious. That was Kyle Shanahan's revenge game dating back to the Falcons.
Well, I mean, then you got to look at, is Trey Lance going to be available? You got Zach Wilson is now a top five guy. Kyle Trask, is this guy's, these guys that you want? That's the questions that you're going to have to ask. 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You need a little insurance, Lance. That's what you need.
TGS Insurance gives it to you. If you don't have homeowners insurance, then, you know, good luck with your house. I mean, you got to have homeowners insurance. And the thing that I found with TGS Insurance is they're the company that has all the connections with the underwriters, with the A-rated underwriters, the ones who handle all of the insurance for most of the big name companies. A lot of times you'll be with a big brand name company and you'll get homeowners insurance and the policy will come in the name of somebody else. It's a different company. Well, that's the underwriter. And so what you start to figure out is that you're just paying additional just for the name brand when really the underwriter is an A-rated company that is not affiliated with that company. They underwrite for them. Well, why don't you get right to that company? Why don't you get A-rated insurance? And all you have to do is text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. You are going to have an opportunity to get homeowners insurance for on average $900 less annually. All you have to do is go to tgsinsurance.com, find out more about them, or just text the word money to 232323 and start saving on your homeowners insurance today.
ESPN 97.5.